I want us to turn to the second chapter of the book of Acts. I'm going to read some verses that our brother in the Lord, Luke, wrote. We've been studying about what Luke wrote, how he gave a chronology of about 65 years of what happened from the time of before the birth of John the Baptist until the Apostle Paul had been held prisoner for the first 2 years in Rome. And we've talked about this before. In the second chapter of Acts, we have the events that took place on the day of Pentecost, and we've been studying about that. In Acts 1:8, which I think is probably the highlight verse of the book of Acts, it says, Jesus, before he ascended, said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." What did that mean? Well, it takes the rest of the book of Acts to explain this. It takes all of Paul's gospels to explain this. And so a little bit of that power was unveiled on the day of Pentecost when they did receive the Holy Ghost. They all began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This group of 120 or so were testimony to those in Jerusalem. Peter, of all people, got up under the power of the Holy Ghost, this newfound power that he had just received himself, and gave an inspired, Holy Ghost-inspired sermon. He didn't have any notes prepared or anything, and he talked to them about Jesus and who he was and what they'd done to him and, you know, how he fit in the scheme of things and how they'd missed out on realizing who he was when he was there just in their midst just a couple months before. And so they wanted to know what they should do. And, of course, it says there in Acts 2, 38, Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And it says in verse 41, "They that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." So they had a big church day one of Pentecost, okay? Verses 42 through 47, Luke explains, he paints with a fairly broad brush here what happened for the next several years after this, and before he gets into specifics in chapter 3, it says, "And they," verse 42, "continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." It's a short class today. Verse 43, "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." Now, this is what happened subsequent to the day of Pentecost. There'd be more signs and wonders done by the apostles. "And all that believed were together and had all things common." We kind of went over that last week. "And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple," that's the temple in Jerusalem, "and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." This was a what we'll read about further in the chapters after Acts 2. Now, I want to explain some things. Brother Copley, he spent a lot of time, a lot more than usual, going over these verses in his study book. One of the things I want to talk about is some terminology that we use. And one is kingdom apostles, the other is church apostles. There's a difference. There's a definite difference between the kingdom apostles and the church apostles. There's two distinct groups of apostles, the kingdom apostles. These are Jesus' chosen 12. And the church apostles, there were eight of them defined in the New Testament. The church apostles taught Paul's gospel message, which included the gospel of the kingdom of God and the gospel message that our risen Savior, Jesus Christ himself, revealed unto Paul in the desert regions of Arabia after Paul was saved. This according to Galatians 1, 15 through 18. I want to turn there because, you know, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And, you know, you might have dozed off while I was talking about this. So go to Galatians for a second. One, because Paul writes there what took place. In Galatians 1:15, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him, Jesus, among the heathen. The heathen is another term to define Gentiles. We're heathen here, except for Arthur, okay? Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem, to them which were apostles before me. He's referencing there the kingdom apostles, okay? But I went into Arabia, a lovely place, a lovely desert place. Ask Scott, he was there for a while. I don't think he, you know, if you love sand and heat, and I think that's, you know, well, at any rate, I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem. This is after he had left Jerusalem. Last time he was there was when he went to pursue Christians in Damascus. So he hadn't been back. And so he went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. So you can study that. Now, in Acts 7, when we get there, we'll read about the stoning of Stephen. And that took place after these events of Acts chapter 1 through 6. This probably took about 7 years to complete those events in Acts 1 through 6. But after the stoning of Stephen, a little while, the Lord knows how long, wouldn't have been too long, Jesus appeared unto Saul of Tarsus. And what did he, on the road to Damascus, appoint Saul of Tarsus, of all people, to be? He appointed him to be the apostle sent unto the Gentiles. Saul of Tarsus becomes our apostle Paul. The Greek word for apostle is apostolos. It's number 652 in the Strong's Greek Concordance. It's translated 78 times in the New Testament as apostle or apostles. The word apostolos also refers to a delegate, a messenger, or one sent forth with orders. Turn to Acts 26. one sent forth with orders. Paul was sent forth with orders. From who? Jesus. Jesus appeared to him, that light, brighter than the noonday sun, on the road to Damascus. That blinded him for a season when that light appeared to him. But his heart, the eyes of his understanding were enlightened, even though he was physically blinded for a while. And so the Apostle Paul was given his orders from Jesus Christ himself on the road to Damascus after Paul answered, or when Jesus answered Paul's question found in Acts 9:6. Well, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Obviously, you don't want me persecuting Christians anymore. That's my job. What do you want me to do? Well, it wasn't so much about that. He wanted him to believe that Jesus, the one whom he had been persecuting, was Jesus, the risen Savior. And by the time Paul could talk about this, about 20 years had passed, maybe a little longer, of what the Lord told him on the road to Damascus. I had you turn to Acts 26. This is one sentence, verse 16 through 18. We talked about it when we did our studies on the Apostle Paul. It's 99 words, one sentence. Jesus, he doesn't use a lot of words or a lot of sentences to explain things. And here he called Paul to be an apostle. Let's read. He said, when Paul said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? The Lord told him, but rise, verse 16 of Acts 26, and stand upon thy feet. You want to be at attention when I'm telling you this. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister. Really? Me? A minister? Saul of Tarsus must have thought. And a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and in those things which I will appear unto thee. When did the Lord appear unto him? We read that in Galatians this morning, in that dry desert regions of Arabia. Verse 17, delivering thee from the people, the people is the Jews. He was a Jew. Did he need delivered from the Jews? The Lord said he did. Because he was a believing Jew. And he's going to need delivered from the Jews. A Pharisee, a believing Pharisee. Yeah, he's going to need delivered from the Jews. He's also going to need delivered from the Gentiles. Unto whom I send thee. You look that up. I send thee as an apostle. Verse 18, for what purpose? To open their eyes. To open their eyes. Who's their eyes? The Gentiles. To turn them from darkness to light. Do you think we're living in a world full of light? Or are we living in a world full of darkness? You don't have to turn on the news for very long to realize the answer to that. It's darkness. To turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan, which we are surrounded with because he is the prince and the power of the air of this world, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now that's quite a sentence, 99-word sentence. And Paul, Saul of Tarsus at that time, pondered that, thought about it, remembered it, and years later quoted it to King Agrippa, and Luke was there, and he wrote it down. And so what we learned here is that on the road to Damascus, Jesus sent Paul forth with orders from Jesus Christ himself that he was going to be the apostle sent unto the Gentiles. And, well, he didn't have any message to give to the Gentiles at this point in time. But Jesus also told him here that Jesus himself would be the one to teach Paul his gospel message, the message that he was to preach unto the Gentiles. Paul's gospel message isn't something he made up. You couldn't make that up. There's no way. It was revealed to him. So, who was Paul sent unto? The Gentiles, as an apostle. The kingdom apostles, whom we started our discussion talking about this morning, were sent unto the house of Israel, the Jews, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God on earth, which teaches of Christ's reign with Israel over the nations. David mentioned that this morning in his introduction here today. Acts chapter 2 through Acts chapter 7 shows the results in Jerusalem of the kingdom apostles' doctrine, which was summarized in those verses we read in Acts 2, 42 through 47 this morning. The church apostles, of which there were eight, they, on the other hand, were taught Paul's gospel message, the message that Jesus himself taught Paul. Paul taught the church apostles, except for Apollos. I'll quiz you for a second. Who taught Apollos? He was a church apostle. Aquila and Priscilla. Aquila and Priscilla, they had a church in their house. They were tent makers, as was the apostle Paul. Well, as he did his occupation, he preached to them and taught them the gospel message that was revealed to him. And they became little ministers. And when Apollos came on the scene, well, he was it. He was very eloquent. He was from Alexandria, Egypt. He was well educated. Boy, he was an orator. People would listen to him. But he didn't know any more than just the baptism of John the Baptist. So Aquila and Priscilla, this common couple that had been taught and educated by the Apostle Paul in a workplace environment and in Bible studies in their home, they took him under their wing and taught him the way more perfectly. And Apollos got filled with the Holy Ghost. And he learned Paul's gospel message from the mouth of Aquila and Priscilla, of all people. Those are overcomers, you know, from this early church age. And Paul's gospel message was the message that was to be preached unto the Gentiles. And Paul and Apollos, we'll get into this later on, Lord willing, if he tarries that long, which I hope he doesn't. He went over to Corinth. Paul had already been there. And he was able to further teach them Paul's gospel message. Imagine if he'd got over there before running into Aquila and Priscilla. What kind of confusion would have been in those carnal Corinthians. Paul spent a lot of time trying to teach him and correct him over the years. And so Apollos became a blessing to him. He taught them also Paul's gospel message. And we know that Paul's gospel message again was revealed to Paul by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, as we read in the passages we've looked at a little bit ago. I'm going to have you turn over to, we'll get there. I'm going to have you turn to Acts 20 here in a minute. So simply stated Paul's gospel message. It also taught about the kingdom of God, but from a heavenly perspective. Paul's gospel taught several things, deeper things of God. Deeper things of God that the kingdom apostles found hard to be understood. Peter, a kingdom apostle, wrote in 2 Peter 3:16 that Paul wrote in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. And this was because Peter wasn't taught, nor did the Lord reveal unto Peter the gospel message that the apostle Paul was given to preach. Only one time do we find Peter going to preach at a house of a Gentile, and there were several Gentiles there, and there was a reason for that, and it took a lot of persuasion from the Lord and the angel of the Lord to get Peter to go there in the first place, and he got chastised for going there. Read Acts 11. Oh boy. You know, and it's amazing how the news that he went to a Gentile's house got back to Jerusalem before Peter himself did. And they didn't have cell phones, they didn't have telephones, they didn't have telegraphs. You know, guess what Peter did? Oh, no. Yeah, well, he's got some explaining to do, which he did in Acts 11. But all of this I'm saying here this morning is because, to point out, that none of the kingdom apostles fully grasped Paul's gospel message. It was different. They were sent to the Jews, the house of Israel. Paul was sent to the Gentiles and to those Jews who would listen to him. Okay? Paul's gospel message went way beyond preaching the kingdom of God on earth because, and we know this, Paul also preached of the heavenly kingdom in 2 Timothy 4:18 and to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Peter don't teach this. He didn't even know about it. That's found in Philippians 3:14. That message is the one that encouraged my mother to pursue and learn what was being taught here, what was being taught in the Grace and Glory magazine that she'd been reading for a few years prior to even coming here. And Paul preached about the gospel of his glory. He did so in 2 Corinthians 4:4 and in 1 Timothy 1:11. Paul was the one who preached about meeting the Lord in the air in 1 Thessalonians 4:17 and reigning with him in 2 Timothy 2:12. The kingdom apostles, search it all you want, they were not given this message to preach, but the church apostles were given Paul's gospel message to preach, okay? The apostle Paul became the first church apostle sent to preach the gospel message Jesus Christ himself revealed to Paul to preach unto the Gentiles, which is the gospel of the church. The church started on the day of Pentecost, but there wasn't any Gentiles present for a while. It took a little while down the road, okay? And what we read in Acts 26, 16 through 18, was how during the early part of this church age, after the stoning of Stephen, when Jesus appeared to Saul of Tarsus, our apostle Paul, and essentially told him what is stated in Acts 22, 21, that Jesus told him to depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Send thee as an apostle to the Gentiles. After preaching his gospel message on three missionary journeys, this is where Acts 20 comes in, Paul gave a summary unto the Ephesian elders in Acts 20 of what his gospel message included. Now, this was said to them after he had done three tours, three missionary journeys. Acts 20:20, let's start there. And Paul tells them how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, Gentiles, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24, but none of these things move me, neither count I on my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. What did Paul preach? The gospel of the grace of God. Verse 25, and now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, he taught the kingdom of God, just like the kingdom apostles did. You shall see my face no more, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Here it is, the word of his grace, the scriptures, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. This wasn't something that Peter and the kingdom apostles preached. Acts 20:32, we just read, is almost a direct quote from Acts 26:18, repeating the words our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ first spoke to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus on the day he got saved. And those words on the day he got saved were probably way over his head. Okay, he didn't understand it either at that time. But he got filled with the Holy Ghost when Ananias laid hands on him. And then he could be taught by the Holy Ghost the deeper things of God. Okay? And don't think we don't need the Holy Ghost in our lives. Well, the one guy in Scripture that writes the most about the Holy Ghost and the importance of the Holy Ghost is Luke. In his 52 chapters he left us, it underlines the importance of the Holy Ghost all along the way. Now, another thing, we have 100 chapters of New Testament scripture written by the Apostle Paul. 100 chapters. 100 is the number of completion. So here's some things that we've been taught here that we know about Paul's gospel. Paul's gospel message is unique. It was given to him to fill up the Word of God. In other words, to 100% complete the Word of God. You can find that in Colossians 1:25. It wasn't Peter's gospel. It was Paul's gospel. Paul's gospel was given him by the revelation of Jesus Christ, as we read there in Galatians 1:12. Paul's gospel message was given to establish us. That's Romans 16:25. The gospel of the Apostle Paul was given to show us mysteries not made known in other ages. Study Ephesians 3:1-10. You can find the word sugloronimus in there if you can get into it. The gospel of the Apostle Paul was given to build us up and to bring us to our inheritance. We just read that in Acts 20:32. The gospel of the Apostle Paul was given to tell us about the race course, Hebrews 12:1. The gospel of the Apostle Paul was given to tell us who it is that can run on the race course. And Paul's gospel message told us how to fight the good fight of faith. We read about these things in 1 Corinthians 9:24-26 and also in 2 Timothy 4:7. The gospel of Paul was given to tell us that Christ is the prize for winning the race in Philippians 3:14. And the gospel of Paul was given for the express purpose that the bride of Christ would be prepared and ready to marry Jesus in Revelation 19:7. Who wrote, "I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ"? That was the Apostle Paul that wrote that. It wasn't Peter that wrote that. It wasn't any of the other kingdom apostles. That's found in 2 Corinthians 11:2. Paul's gospel is our first class ticket to eternal royalty if we will but let our guide, the Holy Ghost, open it unto us. And that's something. The full overcomers of this church age are to diligently search the scriptures, are we not? It says to search the scriptures in John 5:39. And we of this church age can magnify the scriptures under the magnifying glass of Paul's gospel. Our pastor does that all the time in these Wednesday night Bible studies of these fully-hearted, fully-purposed kings, ones that follow the Lord with perfect hearts. Well, what does he, after he reads 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles, and he shows us under the light of Paul's gospel what all this is to us, how it points to us. The word of God, rightly divided by the divine guidance of the Holy Ghost, is what we're talking about here. And I hope we know that, and I hope you know that. And I hope you hear that and see in all the messages and lessons that are taught here. Paul wrote to Timothy, and when he wrote this to Timothy, Timothy was saved and had been filled with the Holy Ghost and had been taught the Holy Scriptures from his youngest days. And yet Paul writes to him to steady, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is found in 2 Timothy 2:15. My first Schofield Bible my mom gave me when I was about 14, and this is the passage of scripture she wrote in the front cover. And it's one thing to have a Schofield Bible, but it's another thing to study it, okay? You can have all the nicest Bibles in the world. You can have somebody's Bible that they wrote themselves. You better have a good Schofield Bible, I would suggest, to study, and to steady it. To steady it yourself. Yes, you want your pastor to steady it. You want your Sunday school teachers to steady it. But you need to steady it. Steady yourself, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is how the bride of Christ makes herself ready, by learning all she can about the Lamb of God, also known as the Word of God. That's Christ. The Word of God is the Bible. The word of truth that Paul wrote Timothy about. Romans 10:17 tells us, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by watching CNN all day long." Nope. Hearing by the word of God. And let the Holy Ghost minister to you. The word of God is our scriptures. And Hebrews 11:6, Paul wrote this. It adds, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe, A, that he is, B, that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We diligently seek God by faith, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When we read and diligently search the scriptures, we hear a little voice in our head, don't we? I mean, I do. You do. So reading and studying scriptures is indeed hearing the word of God, is it not? And our guide, the Holy Ghost, also whispers these words in our hearts of faith, as he guides us into all truth. This is how Paul's gospel is our first class ticket to eternal royalty, if we will just let our guide, the Holy Ghost, open the deep, rich meaning of what Paul was inspired to write to us, to write to you. There you go. So we spent a little time here this morning explaining some terminology that we should be familiar with concerning the church and the church age that was ushered in on the day of Pentecost. And we have talked about the kingdom apostles and the church apostles and the difference between the two. It was several years after Pentecost before the church apostles came on the scene, as we explained earlier. It was our brother in the Lord, Luke, who documented how, by the power of the Holy Ghost, the church apostles came into being, and how the church apostles were the ones the Holy Ghost sent primarily to teach the Gentiles the grace of God. Thus, the first few years after Pentecost, recorded in Acts 1 through 12, deals primarily with Peter and the kingdom apostles and the growth of the early church, which first started on the day of Pentecost at Jerusalem. Primarily, the ones being taught are Jews in this portion. The apostles spoken of in Acts 1 through 12 were kingdom apostles. So, I know I've got some questions on this, but we'll talk about it next week. And we'll go over some of the same verses again in Acts 2, Lord willing.